Well, look who's here, the star of national radio.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, you.
I would attempt to do a Northern Irish accent in some sort of impression of Stephen Nolan from BBC Radio 5 Live, but I'm not going to do that for fear of offending a large section of the country. So instead, I'm just going to say, wasn't that exciting?
It was indeed. Quite unexpected, I would say. If you don't know what we're talking about, basically, after we recorded our podcast recently about American Song Contest, I was asked to talk about that happening on national radio, as you say, 5 Live.
The Eurovision Song Contest looks like it's travelling across the pond for a new US version. Laura Kress is one of the presenters of the Nul Pont Eurovision podcast. Hello, Laura.
Hi there, Stephen. Hi.
Was this announcement expected?
I think to an extent there'd been talks about there being an American
I think it came across very well. I think it all went very well. And we just thought today we've got a few more. We wanted a little bit more reaction to the news of the American Song Contest. So we thought we'd do you a bonus episode of Nul Pont.
That's right, yes, because I think it is quite a big deal that they are doing this American Song Contest. So there is a lot to talk about. And in a moment, we will be talking with a bona fide American, actually somebody who joined me to talk about this all with Stephen. We're going to be talking to Sam Ross, who is a Eurovision fan who lives in America and is American. So very exciting.
Very exciting indeed. They are, I imagine, few and far between Eurovision fans
I think
America.
Yes.
But we may well be wrong. I think we did a lot of poo-pooing of America in the last episode, and I felt a little bit bad for that because I know that there will be plenty of Americans, albeit them rare, but plenty, who will understand this whole Eurovision thing. So it's going to be interesting to talk to Sam and find out whether that is indeed true. Before we do that, I just thought we could have a little talk about the reaction that's been coming in to this idea of the American Song Contest, would some sort of a copy of the Eurovision format, but in America, featuring American states. What I did notice is that they haven't actually sold this to anybody yet. So they've got the idea, they're going to America with it, but no network has actually agreed to put it on.
Yeah, although you would think if they're able to sell this as this is going to be a thing that statewide America is going to be watched, then it would be snapped up, really. So are they at the stage where they've got the producers and they've got the vague date when it's happening, and that's all they've got at the moment?
Yeah, and when you say vague date, we're talking holiday season, which I think I need to correct, because I assumed holiday season meant summer, because I thought that's when you go on your holiday.
Yeah.
This is America we're talking about. I think this is Thanksgiving and Christmas sort of time. So I think we're talking November.
Yes, because they say happy holidays, don't they? Happy holidays.
Just like that. So I think we're looking at an early winter 2021.
That's a good point.
For the American Song Contest. Apologies for not picking up on that sooner. I know, Chris, you've been having a good look on Twitter and just getting the gauging the thoughts of Eurovision fans to this idea. So what have people been saying?
I think, as I said in the last podcast, that, yeah, I think a lot of people happy it means that the Americans aren't coming to Eurovision. And I think a lot of people are saying it's not going to be Eurovision. It's just going to be a normal song contest. So I think people are quite sceptical. I don't think people think this is going to be anything like Eurovision, really. Even though, as I said in my interview with Stephen Nolan, and do check it out. It's still up there with old Stephen. We'll put it on our Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, even though they have the producers who are going across, you know, one of the guys was head of production for Eurovision for several years. One of them represented Sweden in Eurovision. So the producers they've got are clearly know their stuff when it comes to talking about Eurovision and producing a show that's related to Eurovision. So there is that element of it, but they've still got the content, which is going to be very much not Eurovision, I think. And that's where it's going to differ. But I think most people saying intrigued and happy that it means separate to the actual contest.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more, actually, with Sam Ross, who is from the podcast 12 Points from America, and she is in America right now. Sam, whereabouts are you?
I'm based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. So basically, center of the country, almost as far north as you can get before crossing into Canada.
Right. So. Lovely, yeah. Lovely. And what is it like there at the moment?
Other than the fact I just got rained on like crazy as my boyfriend was playing Frisbee, and my hair is a frizzy mess. But luckily, this is a podcast, so nobody at home is actually looking at that.
Yeah, nobody
right
knows.
Now,
so. You've ruined it now, but nobody knows.
Oh, God. The thin veneer of reality.
Exactly, exactly. Well, look, thank you so much for coming on and having a chat. We really, really wanted an American's view on this whole thing and what is going on. As we understand it, this is going to be vaguely based on the Eurovision Song Contest, but probably quite a little bit different. What's your take on the news?
That's kind of where I'm thinking about it as well. I mean, we knew from the start that this was not going to be apples to apples, exactly the same sort of formula as what's worked in Europe for the past 60 some odd years. Just the way that we are as a nation, the state versus state mentality isn't the same as, say, a country versus country mentality. We don't have these sort of political or block voting, and a lot of countries will sort of point at and say, hey, that's the thing at Eurovision. We don't really have that. You know, New York and New Jersey, I use this as an example. They're two states that have a sort of sibling rivalry with each other. They, you know, share a lot of culture. They share a lot of the same sort of pop culture tropes, but they're not going to vote for or against each other just because, oh, that's New York. Oh, that's New Jersey. It's just not how we work. And the sort of regional styles of music, it's cross boundaries. It's all over the country now. So it's going to be a very, very different sort of setup than what we've seen at Eurovision. I'm excited about it, but I think if people who are fans of the original contest tune into the American Song Contest expecting the same thing, they may be disappointed. They have to market it to the American audience, which is going to be very different.
And what has been the reaction in America then? Has there been much reaction? Do Americans actually know what Eurovision is? Do they care?
Not. It's sort of, you get little pockets of it. You're getting a lot more information coming into the American psyche now that the movie has come out, for better or for worse. So people are like, oh, what is this Eurovision thing? So I think a lot of the push from the powers that be about hit this American Song Contest coming through is probably piggybacking on the movie a fair bit. It's not incredibly well known yet. However, I think if we don't know what network the American Song Contest is going to be on, or if it's going to be on a streaming service or whatnot, I think once people say, hey, this is a show that we'll be able to have as our own here in the US, but it's based on this other European contest, I think you're going to see a lot more crossover and a lot more, okay, this is what this is based on. But I think of it like this. The Office was a big hit in the United States, the American version of The Office. That didn't mean you had a ton of people understanding what the original version of The Office was like or seeking it out. You may see a bit of an uptick, but you might not. Also considering that ever since 2016, full contests have actually been geo-blocked here in the US on YouTube. So since Stockholm, a lot of people haven't been able to even watch the shows at all. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I didn't know that. One of the things, and I suppose this maybe is more with us as Brits than it is for certain other European countries, but a big part of Eurovision for us is the kind of the humour behind it and the ability to kind of laugh at it a little bit, you know. And we like the voting process, which is long and boring and laborious because there's so many hilarious bits in it and it goes wrong and that's really, really funny. Do the Americans get that, and would that translate?
I think the Americans who know Eurovision totally get it. They are absolutely all in on the little moments of craziness, whether it's a song or everybody in the room booing when Greece votes for Cyprus again, or, you know, Lithuania didn't vote for Russia. What's going on? It's, you know, people who watch the show, they understand where that's coming from. And I think that crosses borders, whether you're British or American or from Eswatini, it doesn't matter. You know, granted, I'm not speaking for the fans of Eurovision and Eswatini, but that's neither here nor there. It's, you know, people are going to watch it for 100 different reasons. I think the new viewers who aren't going to necessarily have that context in mind of people watch it for the craziness, I think there are going to be some earnest viewers going in there saying it's just about the music or about discovering new talent. I think a lot may depend on the songs that end up in the competition. You may have a bunch of really talented, steady, earnest voting, or earnest songs, I should say. And then you may have a couple of crazy things tossed in there for good measure. Like, who the heck knows what Rhode Island is going to send? They might be our San Marino for all we know.
That's a good point. It'd be interesting to see how the state's character is represented, because I don't really know much about, you know, American states and their different kind of personalities. Do you think that's going to be a part of it, like it is with Eurovision?
It may well be. It really may well be. It's hard to say, because open borders are a thing in the U.S. It's super easy for somebody, like, I was born in New Jersey, for example, and I live here in Minnesota. There are transplants all over the place. It's a very fluid sort of place. It's hard to tell. If you have people voting in an open national selection who are really focused on the idea of, we want something that represents us, you may have an artist from Louisiana doing some Cajun, Creole, Zydeco thing that is super, super Louisiana. Or you could have somebody from, I don't know, just pick a name out of the hat, Missouri, and they want something that is going to be voted on by people from all over the country. So they want something a little bit more middle of the road, a bit more, you know, adult contemporary, or, you know, standard pop that's not going to rustle that many feathers. You know, how do countries go about selecting their songs? We don't.
Yeah,
well, we don't know how states are going
to
do the same.
I'd love to know, based on a lot of what they come up with. It's really,
well, especially the UK.
Well, yeah, no, don't even get started on the UK. it's going to be interesting, because I've been reading a little bit about that, and about the different music that you could bring from different states. And there was talk of, you know, places like Miami being a real hub of that Latin sound and Latin music, and then you've got the country scene in Nashville and so on and so on. If that happens, I think that'll be fantastic. There is a danger, though, I think, like you say, of them just going for the bland kind of straight down the middle stuff that tries to get everybody voting for it, and in the end you just get 50 songs that sound exactly the same.
Yeah, that's my worry as well. Hopefully the powers that be, however these songs are selected, do try to expand on the breadth and the depth of the American music scene, which is as broad as anything, really. Any kind of music that you can imagine, or things that you haven't even thought of yet. It could be the most bland, fall asleep to it, you know, pop, or it could be the most experimental, crazy, off-the-wall stuff. But then again, so is Eurovision nowadays. So who knows what people are going to vote for, what people are going to respond to, what people are going to want representing themselves. It can go one in a billion different directions. And we've got a lot of time before the show actually goes on, before we figure out how this is all working. I think that there's a lot still to be decided in terms of the structure of the contest. So who the heck knows?
Yeah, it is an interesting one. It will be interesting to see how they plan it. And how did you yourself get into Eurovision then?
Oh gosh, that's a can of worms that you just opened there, Laura. I grew up with a sort of vague knowledge that this was a thing that existed. I grew up in a slightly anglophilic family, you know, watching Monty Python sketches and things like that with my dad. So I knew that the words Eurovision Song Contest were a thing that existed. It really kind of kicked into high gear when I started attending university, which my school was very, very highly international focused. So maybe about 20-25% of the student body was from outside of the U.S. So every spring, all the European students would kind of be chit-chatting with each other of, oh, Bosnia's totally going to win it this year. Or no, it's totally time for Italy to take it, even though at the time Italy wasn't in it yet. But that's neither here nor there. But around 2009, it kind of kicked into high gear. I was geeking out about it so much, I ended up writing my own little personal blog. Called the ESC Insider, which isn't really a going concern anymore. But in 2011, when it was in Düsseldorf, Germany, I was like, you know what? I finally, it's in a place that I could afford to get to. I speak a little tiny bit of German. I'm going to check this off the bucket list, and I'm going to go to a contest. And I ended up with a press pass and doing interviewing work for the international arm of the official Eurovision fan club. And so ever since 2011, I ended up working with ESC Insight, where I've been working with them ever since. And yeah, I've been attending every Eurovision since 2011. It's taken me to some incredible places. Wow. I've also had 2 years under my belt working with the EBU officially, with the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, doing some press work with them. And in 2017 and 2018, I was also working with the Bulgarian delegation as their assistant head of press. So
you definitely know what you're talking about, I think, it's fair to say.
I like to think I do. I still deal with a lot of imposter syndrome. Like, how the heck did I get here? But for the last year or so, I've been working on my own podcast called 12 Points from America, like you guys mentioned before. It's three of my closest friends and I just geeking out about the contest, looking at it from all sorts of different angles. One of us is sort of a bit of a Eurovision neophyte. So he's asking all the questions that we didn't even know to ask and having a great time at it. Just a lot of geeking out and dunking on each other and trying to make it accessible for Americans.
Well, and this is, I suppose, the question that we want answered the most. And we're a little bit worried about the answer because I'm not going to lie, Laura and I are not huge fans of the idea of America joining in the same way as Australia did. Do you think that is something that could happen and would you want it to happen?
No, I would be very, very doubtful. No, I think this is the start of something different. Like I said before, the U.S. doesn't necessarily have the knowledge basis and the love of the contest like they do in Australia. We wouldn't be playing the same game. We wouldn't know what the rules of the game are. I think having our own competition or maybe expanding it into like a Pan-American competition, sort of like the Viña del Mar Festival, but a little bit more more broad. I would love to see, you know, Eurovision. I would love to see finally the development of the Asian edition of the contest. I would love to see more development into Africa. It's funny. A couple years ago, this would have been 2016, I was sitting in the press center in Stockholm and Philip Kirkerov was actually at the table next to me. And, you know, we'd start chatting and he's like, oh, you're American. I'm like, yeah. It's like, so you think America should join? I'm like, no. But I would love to see, and I'm telling him about what I'm telling you, you know, multiple competitions and maybe the top five of each competition faces off head to head in some massive global event. Hmm. And Kirkerov looks at me and scoffs and says, Americans, such maximalists. And I'm like, Philip Kirkerov just called me a maximalist. Okay, sure, fine, okay.
So, it's a great idea, though. I like it.
Yeah, Champions League.
Yeah, yeah. This is what you need.
Do you think the EBU would be into broadening it out even more? Because I guess I was intrigued as to why they might have. I mean, I think I have an idea why they went into America. But in terms of kind of the financial reasons behind it, but do you think they'd be interested in broadening it out even more to other areas?
Who knows? I think the American Song Contest is going to be a really, really good pilot program for that. Yeah. It seems like they kind of tried to dip their toe in the water with the Asian contest. I can't even remember. It wasn't Asia Vision. They tried to call it something else, Eurovision Song Contest Asia or whatever it was. And it didn't seem to take hold. So maybe this is just another dip into the pool and another shot at it. Who knows where the future will lead? We have, like I said, 18 months or so until this is supposed to air. So a lot of details will be worked out. But who knows how it'll go.
Well, fingers crossed. Sam, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and having a chat. We really, really, really appreciate it. Just give us all the details for people who want to listen to 12 Points from America and how they can do that and how they can get in touch with you and everything like that we need to know.
Absolutely. We're on all the major podcast streaming services, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff, at 12 Points. From America. You could email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com, or you could find us on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. We'd love to hear from you.
And we'd still like to hear your thoughts about all of this, of course, about the American Song Contest and what that means, really. So do get in touch. We're obviously on Twitter. We're à point null. We are on Instagram, nullpoint podcast. Send us an email, nullpointpodcast@gmail.com, to give us your thoughts about it. Let us know what you think. Let us know how you found my interview with Stephen Nolan.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that interview is up on our Twitter. You can go and see it there, and we're going to put it on Instagram as well. So
I don't think Stephen is it that interested in Eurovision, is what I would say from that interview.
Did you
interview.
Get that impression?
I don't think he could care less, bless him. But I feel like he was not the one asking for that interview to happen. But, fair
and just,
play.
Just be aware of how Stephen introduced our podcast as well.
Because
he pronounces it a little bit like wrong. He sort of anglicizes it, doesn't he, rather than saying nul poir. But then he realized what we were doing and then did a little laugh.
Laura Kress is one of the presenters of the nul poir. Eurovision podcast.
I get the joke.
I do have to say the producer, I had to tell the producer how it was pronounced because he was like, oh yeah, you're from the Null Points podcast, aren't you? And I was like, oh no, it is poir. Make sure he says poir. Don't say null points because then I'd have to correct Stephen Nolan and I didn't really want to have to do that.
Yeah, you don't do that. Don't do that.
No. Just, so we got it right.
Stephen Nolan says it's null points. Just go,
yes,
Stephen.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it is. So I was worried that's what was going to happen. So thanks. I am glad he got it right, actually. But tell us how you found that. You can find it on Instagram as well. I'll put it up on Instagram. And obviously subscribe if you've enjoyed this. There'll be many more to come. And give us a 5-star rating. We're on Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify. Give us a rating. Let us know how you find it. And keep in touch because there'll be much more of this to come.
Yep. Thank you very much. Until the next time. Cheers. Goodbye. Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Very good.